Hey, this is Adam Sorensen, politics producer at Time.com. Welcome back to The Call, a weekly conversation with Time's political reporters on what they've been working on and the latest from Washington. Joining me this week are Jay Newton Small and Alex Altman. Jay, you had an interesting take on Sarah Palin's latest offering in the public sphere, a video produced by her political action committee, ostensibly to support women candidates this year and posted to her Facebook page. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
It's really striking that Palin is kind of reaching out to women in a way that I haven't, frankly, seen any other politician do. They don't reach out specifically to women voters. In fact, they kind of tend to downplay it and say, you know, we're just like any other guy, essentially, and sort of be like, you know, don't differentiate between us and men because they think it might be more of a liability. If you look at even Hillary Clinton's race, you know, run for the presidency in 2008, I mean, she was like, you know, all about the Pentagon and war and, you know what I mean? And she was, you know, she was in pantsuits and she really was not about women voters and not about, you know, emphasizing her femininity at all. And it wasn't really until literally the day she dropped out of the race where she talked about, you know, cracking the glass ceiling, where she talked about women voters and the importance of women candidates.
Who is going to see this video? Who does she imagine is going to see this video? She posted to her Facebook page. Mm-hmm. It's not cut for television, but it's a well put together video. I mean, it looks like almost ad quality.
Yeah, I mean, it is essentially like a political ad, and this is very much for her base, her supporters, her fans. And it's when she hopes that it'll go viral, which, frankly, thanks to us, it already has. and that a lot of conservative women will see it and relate to it, be able to sort of build their support. But I mean, frankly, it is sort of a hint or a wink at running for president in 2012.
That's really the question, isn't it? Because she says in the video that it's about the midterms and that it's about female candidates and mama grizzlies and whatnot, and taking back the country. But she doesn't name or show any specific candidates. And, I mean, she has endorsed a number and campaigned for a number. But in this video specifically, it is about her. It's not about them.
She's really trying to underline the widespread support that she has. All these women coming to her, flocking to her, you know, and then all of these images of her speaking to crowds. It's really about sort of saying, look, I am you. I'm here. I already have this base of women. Come join my, you know, cult of women. Come join my, you know, the temple of Sarah and become part of this movement. And it's about empowering her, but it's also about empowering, you know, her, them to her, you know, and getting more of them to her. So it's really striking. I mean, all of the video is essentially her speaking to large audiences of women or her speaking or her greeting women voters and being hugged and kissed by them.
Do you think she'll run in 2012?
Yes. And I'm probably in the minority here. I know most of the conventional wisdom in Washington is that she won't run. But look, when she ran for governor of Alaska, she had this very particular playbook that she used where she took down Frank Murkowski and it was all about being the outsider, being the sort of, you know, the grassroots person and taking support from, you know, drawing support from the Republican Party, but the part of the Republican Party that was really dissatisfied with the establishment in Alaska. And Frank Murkowski was like the lion of Alaska politics. I mean, his daughter Lisa is now in the Senate, but he ruled the Republican Party in Alaska, and she essentially, you know, charged him with corruption, charged him with being the old boys club that she liked. She loved that phrase when she was running for governor, and really for months and months didn't have a campaign, didn't really have anything established, and everyone was wondering, is she going to run? Is she not going to run? And she drummed up that sort of curiosity. Is she going to run? Is she not going to run? Gave a lot of speeches across the state. And then, you know, almost seemingly at the last minute when everyone's saying she's not going to run because she doesn't have she doesn't have the infrastructure to do it, she sort of just burst forth into this campaign that was, you know, almost fully formed. And I think that's pretty much the same playbook that she's going to play here.
Switching gears a bit. Alex, you've been writing a bit about the oil spill, the politics of it, and what the governors down there have been doing, specifically Bobby Jindal in Louisiana. Why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Well, Jindal has been kind of the outspoken gadfly for the federal government. Just sort of to juxtapose him against Haley Barbour, kind of his counterpart in Mississippi, who has, you know, largely kind of tried to downplay the impact of this bill to say that, you know, come on down, our beaches are still open, who's had photo ops with Obama and said, you know, the federal government has done more right than wrong in its response to dealing with the spill. Jindal has taken a much more vigorous line with how the federal government has sort of dropped the ball, has hampered the local response in many ways, such as the recalcitrance to sign off on his plan to build sand berms to protect some of the marshlands, the request made by a local parish to install rock dikes as a way to block the oil. So he has really been very, very critical of the role that the government has played there. And, you know, it's an interesting political tactic in Louisiana, which obviously has a recent history of being let down by federal efforts. You know, he has really gotten a boost in popularity. His poll numbers are up. He's down there every day. He's holding press conferences. He's doing helicopter flyovers. You know, he has been there and he's been present, and people have noticed. You know, there have been other questions raised about how effective his own response has been. I mean, he drew raised some eyebrows when he vetoed legislation that would have made public all records regarding Louisiana's response to the crisis, as well as his decision not to activate and mobilize some of the federal resources, such as National Guard troops that were made available. So it's been interesting sort of to follow Jindal's response, how he has sort of kind of handled it, played the politics, and, you know, it's obviously there's a stark contrast between him and some of his counterparts.
Now, what about Charlie Crist? He's in the middle of a tight Senate race, but he's currently the governor of Florida, and he has been pretty active in reacting to the spill, and how has it been affecting him?
Well, Crist, like Jindal, has gotten a bump from his response to the spill. He, and again, unlike Jindal, has been outspoken about you know, the dangers of offshore drilling. I believe he's thinking of asking the legislature to convene a special session to discuss the issue, whereas Jindal, for example, has been outspokenly opposed to a federal moratorium on deep water drilling. But in terms of the association with Obama, I mean, you know, Crist is someone who's been sort of had his right flank politically taken up, and, you know, in order for him to win kind of a three-way race here, he's someone who's got to draw some votes from Democrats. And so the photo ops with Obama and, you know, the appeals to Democratic donors may represent the truest path for him to win this election.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
For more political news and analysis, head over to time.com/politics. Once again, I'm Adam Sorensen, and this is The Call. Tune in next week.